Our lifespans are microscopic when measured against a vast eternity. God has a much longer time frame. Abraham would never live to see the promises God made to him come to pass. In that light, who are we to complain when our prayers are not answered right away? Today, we'll gain a larger perspective on prayer than many of us may have ever had. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. Erwin Lutzer is in Hebrews 11, talking about what to do when the answer is delayed, giving us lessons from the life of Abraham.
And so Abraham believed. He believed in the future against the present. Secondly, notice that he believed in the invisible. He believed in the invisible over against the visible. I'm looking now at verse 10. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Now remember that Abraham was a city dweller in Ur. God plucked him up and said, I'm bringing you to this land, and God gave him the dimensions of the land. God says, I'm giving this to you and to your descendants as an everlasting possession. Abraham wanders in the land, what does the text say, as a foreigner. He wanders there as an alien. He really doesn't belong even in the land that God gave him. But why was Abraham so motivated? Why was he so willing to do it? It's because he looked beyond the present. He looked beyond that which you could see, and he could see a city whose designer and builder was God. That is amazing to me, because Abraham did not have the benefit of Revelation chapter 21. And I saw the holy city descending from heaven from God as a bride adorned for her husband. And a great voice came saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will walk with them, and they shall be his people, and he shall be their God. Then you go into that marvelous description of the heavenly city. Abraham didn't have as much revelation as we did, but he looked for the city. And there were two things about the city that he knew that he loved. First of all, that it was designed by God, whom he had come to trust and to love. And secondly, he loved the fact that it was in the world to come, and that the chief dwelling place of this city, the person who dwelt in it, would be the God that Abraham loved. And that's what makes the eternal city so beautiful and so filled with anticipation in the heart of every single Christian. You look forward to the city built by God. By the way, it's this expression, you know, that gave birth to Augustine's title of that famous book entitled The City of God. Because Augustine said that really in this world there are two cities. There's the city of man with its hopes and dreams and disappointments. And when Rome was sacked, the people who belonged to the city of man lost everything, because this is all they live for. No wonder they feel so violated. But to the people who belong to the city of God, they lost nothing important, because they belong to that eternal city. And they have treasures in heaven where neither wrath nor dust doth corrupt, and where Alaric the Goth, who sacked Rome, cannot steal. So Augustine said, let's look forward to the heavenly city. So here's Abraham, who believes in the future against the present. He believes in the invisible over against the visible. And he knew that the world, that world, was not his home. I don't want to be an obnoxious Christian, so you should pray for me that I not become too obnoxious at times, but I've done it on at least two occasions, maybe more. I prefer to forget some of them. But you know how it is, you're at an airport and the woman behind the counter says, well, Mr. Lutzer, is Dallas your final destination? Nope. Dallas isn't my final destination. Heaven is my final destination, but for today, I'm stopping in Dallas. You're right. You got that right. Folks, we belong to another world. We're headed to somewhere else. And Abraham is saying that he can believe in the invisible over against the visible, which is exactly what faith is. By faith, we believe in the unseen because we've heard a word from God. By faith, we believe that we're headed to heaven because God has birthed faith in our heart and God has given us the confidence that we belong to Him. Abraham also believed, in the reward over against the suffering. The reward over against the suffering. Because I can imagine that Abraham often thought about the decision that he made to leave Ur of Chaldees. He often thought about the discussions that he had with Sarah and with other members of his family about his decision. And it seemed so silly. Why give up a good culture and a safer environment with all of your friends and go to a place where you don't know anybody and you're a nomad and you're with a bunch of pagans who all that they know really is violence? Why would you do that? It makes no sense. But Abraham knew something about the call of God. He knew about the reward. It's the Old Testament version of the New Testament statement that the suffering of this present world is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now you look, for example, of Moses. It says about Moses in verse 26, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. What a sermon that is about Moses, for he was looking to the reward. And if you know anything about King Tut's tomb, you know something about the treasures of Egypt. And Moses said that. He's willing to say no to all that. Why? Because he looks forward to an even greater reward. And so Moses and Abraham and all of the other saints listed in this Hall of Fame, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, they believed in the eternal reward over against present suffering, present questions, present hardship. For them, there was this faith that reminded them that this world was not their home. They were just a passing through, as the old song tells us. Now, I can imagine that when Abraham was there in the land, there were discussions that took place from time to time. In fact, the Bible tells us about all of the discussions with the Hittites and what have you. And the scripture is clear that Abraham interacted with the people of this world. And I can imagine they'd say to him, Abraham, what do you own? Well, how is Abraham supposed to answer that? God had told him, as soon as he got there, walk the length and breadth of the land. All that you can see I've given you, from this river to this sea, from there. And God gives him the dimensions and says, this is yours and your seed. I'm giving it to you as an everlasting possession. But now a Hittite says to Abraham, how much do you own? And Abraham has to say, nothing. I own nothing. As a matter of fact, when Sarah dies, he buys the Caleb Machpelah, I think is the correct pronunciation, depending on where you put the emphasis. He buys this cave for Sarah, and he gives the Hittites, I read the story yesterday, it's near Hebron, he gives the Hittites 400 shekels. They say, Abraham, we like it, the fact you're a good guy. We'll give it to you. Please. Abraham says, no, I'm not going to take a dime from you. And he counts out 400 shekels, the Bible says, that was weighed out. 400 shekels of silver. So he buys it. And then later on when he dies, he gets put into the same cave. Because he bought the cave, he could be buried there too. So that's the way in which Abraham dies. Well, isn't that interesting? Now notice what the text says. I'm in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received what was promised. Well, that's interesting. But having seen them and greeted them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. They died Verse 16, but that is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Verse 39, and all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. The idea there is they did not receive the benefits, they did not receive the experience of the promise of the coming Messiah, for example. But they could not be perfected until Messiah came. So they all died in faith. And Abraham dies not seeing the promise. Now I can imagine if he had lived in our day, a word of faith preacher would have come to him and said, Abraham, what's the deal? What's the deal? Claim the land God has given you. God even gave you the boundaries. Simply claim it, talk yourself into it if you have to, because the word of faith means that whatever you speak is yours, and most assuredly you can speak over what God has given you and it'll be yours. But Abraham doesn't do that. He dies, the Bible says, not having received what was promised. Why? Because he believed in another world.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I need to tell you, my friend, that oftentimes those who tell us we should claim the promises are really speaking out of a great deal of confusion. Of course there are promises that we can claim, but it is simply not true, as the little course says, that every promise in the book is mine. God made some promises to Abraham that he did not make to me. And that, of course, is true and consistent with many passages of Scripture where God talks to certain people, makes certain promises that are not directly applicable for today. That's why this series of messages is so very important. People need to understand that sometimes we have to live without seeing the promise, knowing that eternity is coming. Yes, it is true that when Jesus died for us, he died body, soul, and spirit, that we might be redeemed completely. But we do not inherit all of that until we get to heaven, until we receive our new bodies. So people who tell us that we can be healed whenever we want to because healing is in the atonement simply are not thinking clearly. Yes, healing is in the atonement, but we don't receive it now. In fact, the Bible even says that Jesus Christ came to destroy death. Yet all of us will die. Even faith healers die. Well, I just want to stimulate your thinking as I conclude today. In a moment, you'll be given information as to how you can receive these messages so that you can listen to them, share them with your friends, and let us receive unanswered prayer. Not as a discouragement, but let us see the triumph of unanswered prayer. God grant that to be true. See you next time.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of When the Answer is Delayed, another message in a 6-part series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. Tomorrow, more on maintaining faith even when answers never come. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. As a help in working through unanswered prayer, this series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.